If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, I think you always have short-term goals and long-term goals, and you know, this year's the one I'm focused on, and obviously I want to play for a long time, so I've said that for a while. I feel like I'm a broken record. But, you know, it's really this year is the focus, and, you know, this team needs a great quarterback, and, you know, hopefully I can go out and be that.
Brady yesterday spoke for the second time before the close of the public portion of Patriots training camp and preseason. He talked about a couple of things that caught our attention, including Zoe's attention. That includes being a great quarterback. This team needs a great quarterback. What did he mean by that? What did he mean by this team needs a great quarterback?
He and the head coach always say every team is different each and every year. Guys come, guys go. There's different characters on the team. There's a different makeup on the team. He stood there after 2.5 weeks of camp and said this team, meaning this year's team, as it's constituted, needs to have great quarterback play. Period. That's me, and it falls on me.
Because due to there being a lack of receiving depth and talent, we need to make up for that by having a quarterback who is consistent.
It's a hell of a statement within a statement.
Puts those guys in the best position to succeed. That's how I took it.
Does Tom Brady just liberally throw out words just to give you words? I don't think he does. Sometimes he does give you football speak. We're working hard, we're grinding and all that crap. You know, the same stuff he always kind of rolls the eyes at, but this is out of the norm. Try and find this in 18 years prior.
You ask your question.
You can't.
I think it's a fabulous question.
Sure.
I think it may have been Jim Murray that mentioned this. If
Big Jim Murray.
If the Patriots had moved on from Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo was now the guy, would they have traded away Brandon Cooks for this season? Would they have made the same trade of Brandon Cooks? Yeah. Granted, we don't love Brandon Cooks. You certainly don't, so you're very critical of Brandon Cooks. I thought he was good. I didn't think he completely met expectations, but that doesn't mean he wasn't good. I don't think he ever fully developed into the star that I thought he would be. He didn't turn out to be that, but he was still a damn good player for them. Very productive player. Mm. Would he have been traded prior to this season?
Yes.
If Jimmy G was still here?
Yes.
Really?
I think so. Because really, it's conceptually the same. If you can't run down the field and if you have that type of speed, and we still can't find ways to get you the ball deep, and you can't really use your body and relate to the football well. And, you know, some guys, like I said, you watch a guy catch a ball. Like Matt, that's the greatest thing about Malcolm Mitchell.
Let me put it this way.
Malcolm Mitchell plucked that football.
If Brandon Cooks were still here, how much better would you feel about the Patriots receiving group?
Oh, I'd feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As would I. I feel a lot better about it right now if Brandon Cooks was still here.
Not for $15 million a year, I wouldn't. Hell no.
It's not 15. It was 8.5.
Would have been
8.459.
But eventually that number gets to that.
No, what do you mean? It doesn't get to anything.
It would have been 1 year. You would have had for 1 year.
1 year for $8.5 million. And then that's it. You can walk away after the year.
Okay.
Now, you don't get the first round pick that you got out of it, but you'd have the player.
See, that's the thing. He would end up leaving at the end and go to hit free agency and make the kind of contract that he's making with the Rams.
See you later.
But then you don't have that pick. They get a first round pick. You could have kept him at $8 million. You could have cut a tight end, $5.5 million cap hit, find another way to get under at $3 million. You could have been here for $8 million.
I hope that Sony Michel, I'll count either of the first two picks being the equivalent of what Brandon Cooks could have given them, despite the ridiculous play he had in the Super Bowl. What a horrible way to go out. What a horrible way to end your time in a Patriots
uniform. That's the saddest part of it for him. I do feel bad for him in that respect. Wow, everybody's going to remember him getting knocked out.
I mean, because it was his own fault. He ran right into it.
Yeah, his lack of awareness of being on the field.
But I hope that Isaiah Wynn or Sony Michel can contribute to the level that Brandon Cooks would have contributed to this team this year.
Same on his
we would all feel a lot better had they kept Brandon Cooks And I bet Tom Brady would have felt a lot better if they had kept Brandon Cooks.
Because they're sitting there, you're dealing with...
You know, by the way, he was a guy who sort of got on Cooks from time to time, right?
Yeah, let's go, Cookie. Yes, yes. Remember last year? Brandon Cooks would be yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But
yes,
I think he'd feel better about the situation.
Of course he would. Because it's a receiver you're familiar with.
Cooks is the reason that he had the big blowout with McDaniels last year.
Yeah, correct.
In Buffalo.
Yes. People like to put that on Alex. That was on Cooks. Because here we are. What week was that?
It was like mid-season, right? Halloween, right around there?
We're at mid-season, and we don't know if it's man or freaking zone. And you're running the deep dig route. You can't see what the safety's doing. There's a hole to sit in, and you read man, and you keep running. I have had it. I could have thrown it to the other side because, yeah, my coordinator's telling me somebody else is open too. But you would have freaking walked in on the five. You'd have stuck him right on the five. There was a cavern in there. I said, during the call, I said, he's reading man. What's he doing? That's 8 weeks in. It's not 10 days of camp. Big difference. Big, big difference. Like, then he knew. Like, everything's going to have to be perfect for it to work for him.
617-779-0985. Sean's in Lowell. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
Hey. What's up?
Hey, so my idea was that with Brady, so a couple years ago, we drafted Jimmy G to specifically go, hey, we need you to play better because we're thinking about replacing you. So it was all a motive in Brady's head. So he plays lights out. I think the whole incentive thing is Belichick's way and the Patriot way of saying, hey, we get it. You want to play forever, but we need your focus still here. So in order to do that, let's give you some incentives, make you work for it. Will Brady respond the same way? I don't know, but that's what I'm hoping. All right, love to listen. Thanks, guys.
All right, Sean, appreciate the call. I think that there is some of that. I think that the team is sending the message that he is a year-to-year player because I bet they genuinely believe they are now entering the year-to-year aspect and part of his career. Let's get to that. Tommy Caron had a story on NBCSportsBoston.com yesterday. The headline was, Patriots still scared of a long-term commitment to Tom Brady. Are they afraid of going beyond just year-to-year with Tom Brady at this point? And are they right to think along those lines? We will get to that and more of your calls as well. 617-779-0985. Also coming up at 12:50 this hour, we will talk to Revs head coach Brad Friedel.
Lack of regret.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom, how are you feeling health-wise?
I feel good. Thank you. I feel really good.
Tom, the plan is for you to play tomorrow?
Yep. I mean, I think the plan's always to play. It's whether I do or don't is up to coach. But, yeah, I certainly plan on being out there.
Line at NBCSportsBoston.com. Curran says Patriots still scared of long-term commitment to Brady. Tommy Curran wrote this yesterday, saying that for some time, Tom Brady has wanted a contract extension past the end of 2019. To date, the Patriots have resisted giving him one. So near the end of April, Brady's agent did something he hadn't done in his previous 18 years representing the Patriots quarterback. He made a statement on Brady's behalf, confirming both Brady's future intentions and his contract concerns. And this was Don Yee to Adam Schefter, April 23rd, saying he'll play beyond this contract and into his mid-40s or until he feels he isn't playing at a championship level. I understand the constant speculation, but this is one point he's been firm about and said his objective every year is to outperform his contract. And like every player, yes, he thinks about his contract. Tommy Curran says Yee didn't make that statement publicly simply so that the Patriots would know Brady's intentions. The Patriots were a phone call away. Yee did it to shut the door completely on public speculation that Brady might not play in 2018. He says that speculation was alive because Brady breathed life into it. And how many times this offseason did we get that? Whether it was Oprah, whether it was Jim Gray, the interviews, Tom versus Time, Gotham Chopra doing public interviews. Everything seemed to indicate that he was considering wrapping up his career sooner rather than later. And Tommy Curran writes this, over the next month, when I asked sources for definitive answers about Brady returning, the best I'd get was, quote, probably. That went through March into April, and that's following Tom versus Time in Gotham speaking about it. So March into April, Tommy Curran was asking those close to Brady or Brady sources, is he going to play? And the answer was probably. And that was about this season, Zoe. This season.
So why should they be committed more than 2 years to him?
I agree.
I don't blame the team.
He put himself in this situation.
When you create doubt outside the norm, that sends red flags off to everybody. And this isn't a money ploy. This is, okay, things change. Relationships change. Priorities in my life change. Family changes. I want to spend it with them. I have other business opportunities. I need to help work on those. That's all different. You never did this in any other year. So you're indicating to them, you consider maybe you had enough. Part of the problem is the other guy that you were getting ready to be the next guy to play is no longer here. So that complicates the problem for, I think, everybody.
And as he says, Brady at 41 is in uncharted territory, talking about from a team perspective, what do you want them to do?
Right.
What do you want them to do? How does Brady know how he's going to feel by the end of this contract? And he writes, between regular and preseason games, that's 39 scheduled games left on his contract.
Yep.
That doesn't even include the playoffs. He says, what happens? What happens after you play those games? What happens with the cries from your family or from your business interests or whatever?
This would be my greatest fear as the team sort of standing, to be left there standing holding nothing, is if you go out and he does what he says he's going to. He's going to be a great quarterback this year. He said it. This team needs a great quarterback. Go out and play great. Win the whole thing. I think he walks. Guys, if he wins, I think he walks.
Which is why the team wouldn't be wrong to do what they're doing.
You just won an MVP last year. You threw for 505. You lost. But, man, go to 9 and walk away with 6. Nice life. It's been fun. Right now, 5 years. I'll be Hall of Famer in 5 years. First ballot. Okay, good. Good to go.
And
he could be one and done here, guys.
Look, I agree if they win it, but
yeah.
That would also mean, like, had he won last, do you think he would have, had they won, do you think he would have walked?
No.
No, because the whole Tom versus Time, right. He put this whole thing out there, but the narrative has changed enough after the loss to where.
Okay.
It's almost as though he were kind of setting people up for the notion that, okay, there is an end to this in sight. Don't know how long it's going to take. Want to spend time with the family. Another Super Bowl victory? I could say that, too.
He just reminded me of something.
All right.
Is that the end of it? Or is there Tom versus Time 2.0?
He was asked about it. He said no.
No.
There's not going to be another one.
Wouldn't it be great to have another one and have it in? On a positive note?
Well, how do you call it Tom versus Time if you're then not beating Time?
Right. Like, time's still going. So I guess
like, Time. Oh, it's Tom versus Time.
Who won?
But I won, so I'm out of here.
No, you didn't win.
Like, what? Wait, I thought it was all about your age. Like, oh, because you're so old.
No, it's the retirement edition. They call it Tom versus Timeshare. And that way he can just talk about where he's going to be spending a few weeks here, a few weeks there.
Let's go to hold on one second here. Colin, who's in North Reading. Colin, go ahead.
Hey.
How you doing, guys?
Good. How you doing, Colin?
Good. I think Brady's at the point of his career where, you know, he's not going to be incentivized by or motivated by $5 million incentives. I think, you know, he's motivated more by his business entities, you know, afterwards, after his career. So I think that, you know, his business model is based off of, you know, playing better at a longer age, you know, at an older age. So I think that, you know, if the Patriots know that, they know that, you know, he's not motivated by $5 million. And if they didn't know that, they would be offering, you know, $16, $17 million rather than just the five. So I think he's more motivated by his, you know, career afterwards, after playing football.
Well, obviously he is motivated by that. $5 million is not going to motivate him. He's going to attempt to hit those incentives anyway because that's the type of maniacal player he is. But the reworking of all these numbers did do something interesting. His AAV, was it 22.5, correct? Now with this reworked money, all of a sudden goes right to 27. So for 1 year, guess who he's making the same amount of money as? The guy that backed him up.
No, he's not. What do you mean?
Jimmy Garoppolo is making 27 a year.
But that's not what Brady's making.
Jim, doesn't this money get Brady into 27 a year?
No. No, it doesn't.
His cap number is 22.
Yeah.
Add $5 million in incentives. The cap number next year goes up to 27.
Yeah, but the cap number is not what you're actually getting paid. That's not
that
real
doesn't
money.
Matter, but it's still the money that...
Well, 27 isn't actually what Garoppolo is getting paid either. Right. So you either take one of two. You take the cap number, which is the yearly average, take or you average. Take the cash paid, which Garoppolo is making like 37 or something this year.
Okay, or you take the real money and
a lot of people go by the AAV. A lot of people go by AAV. What's the average annual value of the contract?
Brady's extension.
In real money, though. In real guaranteed, like, real money.
Well, Brady's at 130. He's taking 137
Brady has a chance now to make 20.5 million this year was what he could max out at.
Plus the 7 million of the signing bonus that's prorated over that time. Yes.
Well, not what the signing bonus from when he originally signed the deal?
When he signed the extension, the 2-year extension, which these are the 2 years.
For this year. Right.
Yeah, that's a weird way of making it sound like he's making the same money as Jimmy Garoppolo.
But if we're
going
to be technical about it, maybe this is the way they spin it to him. I know you got a problem with what Jimmy's making.
It's not a weird way, Beetle. It's he got 2 years of new money.
Yeah.
And he got 21 per year for those 2 years.
But then with him, every time you have to go back and see where you have to sort of calculate that he was on the previous deal when he signed the new deal.
Okay, so, but he got $21 million per year for 2 years of new money.
Okay, and?
So these are the 2 years, this year and next year.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't put him near the tops in the league.
Like that no, doesn't... that put him ninth. That would have put him ninth at the time he signed that deal. Just right around Matt
okay.
Ryan.
Mm-hmm. So what does that have to do with Jimmy Garoppolo, though? I don't understand.
I think there's a part of it that is, you know, that guy's making 27 a year.
Yeah, he ain't making Jimmy money, though.
Yeah.
No matter how you dice it, he's not making Jimmy Garoppolo money.
But for 1 year, we're going to get you to 27.
For 1 year in which you were going to be paid 14.
1 year in your walk-off year, we're going to get you to 27.
We're going to get you around 20 if you hit all these. If you in real money, real dollars, cash, we're going to get you to about $20 million if you hit all these
God,
incentives.
I could see him winning the whole thing, getting the MVP, and walking off.
Paulie's in the truck. Hey, Paulie.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Oh, well. Where have you been?
I've been very, very busy. It's bushes and bed season. We're busy.
Bushes and bed season is in May.
So, like, I'm mowing one hand and a pair of hedge clippers in the other most of the day, okay? It's crazy right now with me. Doing all I can do just to get to Maine on the weekends.
Anyway,
so here we go. Brady, what are you guys paying? Are you listening to him? Anybody been listening to him for the last few years? Hardy, you too. Yeah, what do you walk last year? Come on, are you kidding me? What I told you last year when I called you, I said, I'm telling you what they're up to, but I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you right now what they're up to last year. What they were looking at, they had beat Atlanta, all right? Now they're looking at the second in a row. At Minnesota. Minneapolis, St. Paul, Paul Brown, all that other stuff. Oh. The handwriting was on the wall, okay? Right there for two in a row. Then the following year, which is this year, and where are we going? Atlanta. The handwriting was on the wall for 3 in a row to catch and pass the Steelers, okay? And nobody's won 3 in a row. That's what they were after last year. They saw the handwriting on the wall. If I saw it, they saw it. Belichick screwed it up by not playing Butler and showing some mercy in St. Paul, all right? Because Malcolm stepped up on Steve. Everybody knows that's what it was. That's what it had to be. Something happens, Olaf, just like you said. Something had to happen. That's what happened. And Steve was the only one that was standing between Malcolm and exile back last summer at this time.
Okay. Someone translate, please. Somebody translate that for me.
Belichick.
It's the Butler got into it with Steve Belichick theory.
No, I caught that at the end. But what
who's
about
St. Paul?
The St. Paul.
What about
showing mercy and
Saint
what?
St. Paul, Paul Brown.
Paul Brown.
How many disciples?
Atlanta.
The 12 disciples? Who's Judas?
I started to get a headache.
Brady,
behind
is
my
Brady
left
Jesus?
Eye
is it really Brady?
Call.
Is Brady Jesus? Is this the argument? What they eat at Last Supper?
Does this have something to do with the Da Vinci Code?
Was it Italian food? Was it Greek food?
Was
it Jewish food? What was it?
I told you last year, honey, I went to the Louvre.
Wooden bowl?
And I walked around the Louvre with a black light and I found markings on the wall on the Mona Lisa.
Oh, you told me what really happened. Oh, my God. Why does he do this to us?
Is there a common number that connects all of these events?
22. 5-15-75.
Wait a minute. 5-15-75. He sounds like Ray Lewis. Wait a minute. Let me just move on. That part of the speech when he forgets how to connect all the numbers. 5-15-75. Just keep saying it. Just keep repeating it. Yeah. Make it sound believable.
Yeah.
Hardy has our headlines here. 617-779.
5-15-75.
Yeah. Or 0-98-5.
Crazy, ain't it?
Another win for the Red Sox last night. 2-1 the final over the Phillies in Philadelphia. Rick Porcello out there for 7 innings for his 15th win on the year, just giving up a solo homer. Tonight they wrap up the quick 2-game set. Nathan Eovaldi will go to the mound for the visitors. As for the Patriots, they're holding a walkthrough practice today ahead of tomorrow night's preseason game number 2. Tom Brady talking about the weather. You talking about the weather?
Yeah, I mean, I love doing it. I love trying to get wherever, you know, whatever you can, get a little extra. And we had so many hot days or really wet days, and neither of those days are very good to do that. Extra stuff. So got to take advantage of these days while we can. Got to get a little extra work with the receivers and the tight ends, and that's what the goal is.
And the goal is to be ready for the Eagles tomorrow night. Once again, preseason game number 2 at Gillette Stadium. And we'll, of course, hear the game right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. University of Maryland accepting legal and moral responsibility for the death of Jordan McNair. He's a 19-year-old offensive lineman who passed away after suffering heat stroke back on a workout on May 29th. Also parted ways with a couple of people, including Rick Cord, who's the assistant athletic director for sports performance. Headlines are brought to you by Nairobi Acardi's Furniture and Mattresses, introducing Nairopedic Lift, the new high-low vertical lift adjustable bed exclusively at Acardi's. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Everything's okay. Bring me southern kisses from your room. Why must you ruin that for anyone who might want to listen to it?
This song's horrible.
I think it's a great yacht rock suggestion that we got from a listener.
Sings this. I'd never play
Steve something right.
Steve Forbert.
Like, sit at your buddies, cracking some, like, drinks out on your boat. And like, hey, meet me in the middle of the night. Let me hear you say things will be all right. Bring me sweet kisses from your room.
Hey, what was Felger playing for you this weekend?
Oh! I felt like there was something behind that.
You're being a real dick today.
Wow.
Well, no, Zoe experienced it this weekend, so what were you playing? Let's play some of those songs.
Yeah, where are you guys playing when you were together?
Yeah, you want to do a little boom, boom, boom? We do boom, boom on a beach.
You and Felger, boom, boom on the beach?
You were boom, booming on the beach?
It was techno. It wasn't any of this stuff.
Oh, you say that like it's a bad thing, like King of Yacht Rock, Scott's all like,
oh, no, I love Yacht Rock. That'd be a scratch on the Yacht Rock channel. Like, let me turn to my enemy tonight. Like, what's his other hit? What's that guy's other hit?
He doesn't have way another
hit.
Why do you need to have another hit?
Because, I mean,
plenty of one-hit wonders on
Doobie Brothers?
The Yacht Rock.
Play just all Doobie Brothers on the boat and be fine.
That's what you do?
That's okay.
But is that what you do?
That's fine. You like that song, we'll play that song.
I didn't pick it. Jim picked it, and I think it's a nice, little, interesting, different yacht rock pick.
Jim got very sensitive.
That's
about
all.
The pick.
That's all.
You don't need to get all sensitive.
No one's getting sensitive here.
Jim got sensitive.
He just wanted to know what you were doing with Felger down on the island
we're
over there.
Who flipped the collar up and wore it the best. Yeah. What is this?
It's another Forbert song.
This sounds quite different from the other one you played.
Is this country Forbert?
Sounds like Seeger for a second.
It does. Bob Seeger, Silver Bullet Band.
What kind of music would you listen to if you were hanging out with Lane Johnson?
Probably a little Alice Cooper. Lane Johnson's tapped.
He's such an idiot.
Does he know that his team won the Super Bowl? Like, his team won the Super Bowl?
Let me read you this story from Bleacher Report. Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson isn't afraid of the hostile Patriots fans.
Yes.
He will surely face in Thursday's preseason rematch of Super Bowl 52.
I don't know. If you've ever
been to hostile fans?
If you've ever been to a home preseason game in Foxborough, I mean, it gets nasty. I won't even let my son go. That's how crazy it gets.
This guy's a moron. There will be no hostile fans.
Like, this is the problem. This is the danger with Philly. Like, okay, they won it. A lot of people said, well, they could win it again. I don't know if they can handle winning it.
I think it's a fair question. How do they handle their success now that they've won the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Like, the ability to say, hey, we've been there. We know what we're doing.
The danger is, and they were talking about it.
Like, look at this tool on TV. I mean, really.
Well, Lane Johnson specifically was talking about in the weeks and months after the Super Bowl as a guy who was part of a team who had it figured out. We got to figure it out. We like to have fun. That's the way we do it. That's how we got it
done.
But
that's where the danger is. When you start believing you have all the answers.
Yes, of course it is.
Hugh Jackson has all the answers because Al Davis told him. You run it your way because that's the way to do it. Okay? We do things my way.
Walk around talking like you know how to, we know how to do this. We know how to get it done.
It sort of reminds me of Jaylen Brown saying, of course. And there's no question we'll be in the finals. What kind of silly question is that? I don't know. Question about a team that's never been to the finals in its current, you know, group. Why don't you get to the finals before you start talking about how you're absolutely going to be there?
I say there's a difference between confidence and between saying you've got all the answers. Like Tom Brady said last year.
I think he's got all the answers. Don't you think there are similarities between the two?
I mean, Brady said last year.
Between Jaylen Brown and Lane Johnson?
Yeah, no, in terms of those types of attitudes. We've got all the answers, they're cousins.
A little bit. Yeah.
I just think there's something about teams that get there.
Oh, I can't get that song out of my head.
Which one?
The one from three minutes ago?
God. Yeah, it just keeps going on.
Oh, my God.
So get over it. Almighty.
You know what I sort of think when I see this team? Winning the Super Bowl. I think like the Ravens when they won the Super Bowl.
Yes. Yes.
Isn't that kind of the way you think about it?
Yeah. Yep.
I'm not talking about the Ravens of 2000. I'm talking about the Ravens of 2012.
Right.
That's the team I'm talking about.
Right. One and done. Boom.
Like, all right, you won the Super Bowl. Do you know what happened though next year? They went 8-8 and they didn't make the playoffs. And so I sort of think, you know, even when you win, your next year is not automatically sort of great year. Like, you don't have all the answers all of a sudden.
No, and all of a sudden, it got perfect for them, right? You lost your starting quarterback. You were lucky enough to have good enough of a one to help carry you. Didn't play well in one game. Ended up having a great game against Minnesota, and he had a fantastic Super Bowl. Can you go for two? Can you go for two every time you're down and tight? Are you going to go for one every time you're down inside the 10? Like, everything worked for them that they called. You couldn't stop it. I don't think you could live like that every week in this league.
Can I bring up something
else?
And
they didn't live that way.
They're going to go back to Carson Wentz. Obviously, he's their starting quarterback.
Sure, sure.
And you can now say this about that team. Their quarterback's never won a Super Bowl. You get back to the playoffs. I don't know what Carson Wentz is come playoff time.
Right.
I don't know if he's got what it takes to win at that level.
Could be Tony Romo.
Right.
It's really the only situation in the league where that guy's reinserted in as the starter, can have a hell of a regular season. All of a sudden, final two games of the year, maybe doesn't play as well as the other 14. And you got guys in that locker room going, oh, man, now we got to play divisional round. Oh, crap, it's Dallas again. He had two bad games against Dallas. What if things aren't good at halftime? Is he going to go to Nick Foles? Maybe we want Nick Foles in the game. Nobody else can say that. Everybody else backups pretty much aren't that good. You know, they got a good situation there. But lucky to have Nick Foles there.
I don't understand this like changing of the narrative for the Eagles and why they feel this is a good idea. Lane Johnson talking about how they were disrespected.
Here's this quote. Oh yeah, I hope so. I hope they raise hell talking about the fans.
Okay.
They can cuss me. They can say whatever they want. At the end of the day, I'm not blocking them. I'm blocking guys on the edge. So it doesn't really matter what they say. I know I'm not going to be well-liked. This team is not going to be well-liked going in there. So it's going to basically bring out our best. Dude, it's the preseason.
Are they?
And I got news for you, Lane Johnson.
Are they game planning for New England or something?
People aren't going to be watching you. You can think, and you are. You're an important guy. You're one of 11.
What position does he play?
I'm not sure.
Is he a lineman?
I think he's a lineman.
Is he a guard? Is he a center?
I think he's
a
lineman.
Is he a tackle?
But no one's.
He's a tackle.
Go ask Mike Flynn. Go ask a guy who played the position. Even he doesn't watch the offensive line.
Right.
No, you're not somebody that people are going to be keying in on and watching. Get over yourself. We were disrespected. We are disrespected by them, and that's why I'm running my mouth. I don't want to. I had to. Who disrespected you? I thought people were giving the Eagles plenty of credit. Hell, Tony Maz picked them to win it from the beginning.
Do you remember?
There was plenty of respect given the Eagles' way.
Do you remember the Super Bowl party? Not the Super Bowl party, but the Super Bowl parade for them. They were running their mouths about Bill Belichick disrespecting their head coach prior to the game.
Yeah, what was that?
So I call my buddy, who is actually on the staff down there, and actually coaches that guy. And I said, what the hell is your team talking about? He said, I have no clue. He goes, you think we'd ever say anything bad about Bill? or he would say anything bad about us, and you don't think we'd run with it? He said, no clue. You got a bunch of nut jobs down there. And that could go bad, because I don't know if that guy runs the locker room, and he might. That might be scary.
But Beatles absolutely right. This whole thing is predicated on he thinks it's going to be a hostile environment. I got news for you. I walked from one end of the stadium to the other at the end of the second quarter in that first preseason game. I think there are as many people up on the concourse walking around, buying souvenirs, getting a beer, as there were actually watching it's preseason. It's just a hang. It's a scene.
There's babies at the game. Babies.
I had a chance to go tailgate in the summer months.
Yes,
I had a baby.
We had a few beers.
It's a chance for burgers.
You go to Gillette. You
move the baby.
You get tickets from season ticket holders who don't necessarily care about preseason.
It's family.
You go there and hang out. Now, yes, there's a game going on, but it's almost secondary to the reason that you're down there. You're down there just to be a part of New England Patriots football, kind of. And it's football light. It's going to be a hostile environment. Yes.
Going to get the best out of us.
On the off chance that people are paying attention to the game tomorrow night, the ones who are there, yes, they may be rooting against you, but it's got nothing to do with you, Lane. It doesn't even have that much to do with the fact that your team beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, because you were just one of many teams that they faced in the Super Bowl. If the Giants came in here, the Giants that beat you twice in the Super Bowl, would it be a hostile environment for the Giants? No. It's in the past. It happened. It's a new season, and it's not a new season. It's a preseason. Get a grip, man.
That is Lane Johnson. About? He'll be here tomorrow.
Maybe he got
taking on the Patriots all by himself.
Maybe a couple cuckoos loose up top.
Oh, I think so. I think so.
Yeah, so he's got a couple cuckoos loose up top.
Yeah.
You know what he meant. Come on, give him a break.
Yeah.
I knew what you meant.
He and Kelsey's brother. Kelsey's brother is another one of them, too, down there.
Coming up next, we will chat with the head coach of the New England Revolution. It's Brad Friedel joining us next.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub and NBC Sports Boston. Let's welcome in the head coach of the Revs. Brad Friedel joins us on the line to talk about his team. Hey, coach, how are you?
Not bad. How are you guys doing?
This is getting good pretty weekly. We're going to start calling this Friedel and the Beetle.
We should.
This thing cranked up.
Yeah, just start our own podcast.
Nice.
Last two matches, we talked about that Orlando match last week. That was the draw that was tight, and then a tight game against Philadelphia, which you battled back in that game, being down two goals. What's the mental state of the team right now?
Well, we're playing well. I mean, most every game where we've been the better team, we've just been shooting ourselves in the foot with conceding soft goals. in the last two games. It's been set pieces. The couple games before that, it was just individual mistakes. The group's good. Spirit's good. Working really hard. We're working hard to eradicate all the individual errors. And at some stage, with the amount of work that the players are putting in and the application that they're given to all our training session and the tactics, we're gonna come good and come out of this little run we're in, because it's not as if we're not creating a lot of chances. It's not as if we're being the second best team on the day, and the players know that. And it's just about staying focused to the task and working hard, and we just need that next win, and we fully expect that to be against DC.
You know, and the way the season's going, and you go to game to game, and sometimes the defense carries the offense carries the defense, and you got to roll with it. But you look at guys like Pania and Bunbury, you've been able to generate offensive chances even when you have broken down at times on, you mentioned, the individual mistakes, and I assume you're talking about the defense, correct?
Absolutely right. In the last couple of games, it isn't acceptable. I mean, the staff doesn't accept it, and the players don't accept it, not being able to defend set pieces. Philadelphia had a few chances, but a couple of those came when we were chasing the game. But we had 26. We had 26 attempts at goal. So, yes, we should be finishing more. But that also states that we're playing really well away from home at Orlando. We created the far better chances. We and far more of them. We controlled the game even when they had possession of the ball. Bulk of their possession of the ball was in their own half, and that's fine. The players' attention to what we're trying to accomplish has been very good. It's just the little attention to details, and we have been conceding way too many goals. But in saying that, we're not going to stop trying to score the goals, because I think that's one of our strengths, and it's also something we want to instill in the team from now and going forward into the future. We always want to try to play games to win them, not play games to not lose them. I think when you have that mentality, in the long run, it'll pay dividends.
Revs head coach Brad Friedel is with us. So Sunday, you mentioned you're getting ready for the match with DC United, and Wayne Rooney had a play on Sunday that a lot of people are talking about. You're familiar with him. You played against him in the Premier League. Were you surprised to see him make such an incredible play on Sunday, and is that just maybe what you've come to expect from that guy?
No, I mean, Wayne's one of the world's best during his time as a player. I know I played against Wayne, as you said, a long time, and I know him very well. The funny thing is, people are talking about the play. That's normal for a top professionals to work hard, get back at the ball, and yes, then it takes technical ability with the pass. But every top professional all through the world works hard. So I don't think people have to be enamored by a sprint. It's just it is a sprint. But Wayne has a lot to offer, and we have a plan to not only try to stop him, but the rest of the team, and then score goals ourselves. But I always think the way I always looked at it, it's always more fun to play against the better players in the world, and because you're able then to go and get your name up in the lights. So hopefully our players will look forward to the challenge.
Is it especially good for the younger players too, Coach, to see a guy like Wayne Rooney? And like you said, it's not necessarily just the talent on a play like that. It's the work ethic. It's the sprint. It's just the hard work. Is that even more important for the younger guys to see that you don't have to be just born with the talent? Sometimes it's just about working hard.
Well, it's not just the – yes. To answer your question, yes, but it's not just the younger guys. I think a lot of players in any sport should see that. I've never ever played with any of the world-class players who didn't work hard. Every single one of them worked hard at their game. That's why they're world-class. They were given a talent, but then they made that talent better by the amount they worked. So nothing's ever given to you. You always have to earn every point and every trophy and anything, any contract, whatever it may be that you get in the game. And working hard is just a prerequisite. You have to do that in order to be good.
All right, we've been doing a lot of this on-field talk. Enough of that. Like, you guys got a lot of road games coming up. How do you keep the groupies away? Like, all these women on the road. And do you guys stay in, like, the Four Seasons? Is it the Fairfield Suites? Like, people want to know how you travel. Like, when you get to the game, what are we doing? What kind of planes we taking? What kind of hotels we staying in? And how's the food? How's the food?
No, the food's always good. Hotels are always very good. They're right up there with the Four Seasons and the Ritz-Carltons and the top Marriott. Sometimes we have charter. Sometimes we're on commercial. It just depends. We only have a certain amount of charter flights allowed through the season because of the way the CBA is written. Hopefully that gets changed and we get more chartered flights. Things are good on the road, and they're trying to make it as comfortable as possible for the supporting team, so there's not that competitive advantage or disadvantage when you go play on the road.
All right, Coach. Well, good luck this weekend.
Appreciate
on the road.
It.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Brad Friedel joining us here on Zolak and Bertrand. We will be getting back to some audio of the coaches of the Cleveland Browns. Hard Knocks, episode 2, was last night.
Oh,
we'll get to that.
Fools.
90 seconds, no commercials. Here's Hardy.